Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Yud Chet Amud Bet by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "En kotvin shtarecho b'moed." One cannot write a document of debt on the moed. If he doesn't believe him, there are two areas where we have dispensation to write down the debt obligation. One is the case where the malvi, the lender, does not believe the debtor, and therefore he wants to have it documented. Must be a case where the loveh, where the borrower, needs it during the moed. It's a dovra aved for the loveh, and therefore the loan is necessary during the chol moed. Once we get to that predicament, and the malveh is willing to lend, but he's not going to lend without a documentation, there we allow him to document the loan, because otherwise he won't grant the loan. The other case is where the sofer has nothing to eat, and by hiring the sofer, then you will grant him the income that will allow him to eat, then you can write or have the document drawn up for the loan. Ein kotvim sfarim tefillin u'mezuzot b'moed. You cannot write Sefer Torah, tefillin u'mezuzot on chol moed. Vein megino ot achat. You're not allowed even to fix one letter. Afilu b'sefer Ezra. That's one girsa possibly. Or afilu b'sefer Azara is the other girsa brought down by Rashi. So afilu b'sefer Ezra, there was a Sefer Torah of Ezra that was special. And even in that Sefer, we have to fix something up. You're not allowed to do it. Rashi brings the alternative of Sefer Azara, that there was a special Sefer Torah in the Azara that everybody else copied from, meaning that it was the standard by which everybody followed. So that was the Sefer of the Azara. You can't even fix an Otachat there. The Locha, when it's brought down, if it's a Torah Rabbi, meaning they don't have a Sefer Torah without this, or there's some necessity, then you can even do it on the Moed. A person can write a Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzot for himself, and he can also twist or spin the strings for the tchelet of his tzitzit. Now the Gemara is going to explain. Tanu Rabbanan, Kotev Adam Tefillin Mezuzot Leatzmo V'Tovel Yirechol Tchelet LeTzitzito. Person can write Tefillin Mezuzot or Sefer Torah. Tosafot over here notes that the only problem here is the ktiva, the writing with regards to stam, sefer Torah, tefillin, mizuzot. And with regards to tzitzit, the only problem is the spinning of the strings, but actually making tzitzit would not be a problem. And that's what Tosafot is medayik from here, that the making of tzitzit is fine, and the making of tefillin is fine. The only problem is ktiva and the tviya over here, because they are more melacha oriented, and because of that, they are asurim. Now, we have a bright thought. It says, Kodev Adam Tefillin Mezuzot Latzmo. A person can write Tefillin or Mezuzah for himself. V'tovel Yerecho Tchelet L'Tzitzito. And he can also spin the string for himself on his thigh. U'lacherim. If he does it for others, V'tovel. He can do it without compensation, without remuneration. If you remember, we saw this earlier, that there might be a difference between doing work for free and doing work for compensation. The Rishonim argues whether compensation then makes it into Malacha. Here, according to Rabbi Meir, that does change the dynamic, Divrei Rabbi Meir, that when you do it for free, it's okay, but if you don't do it for free, it's problematic. The way that he can handle the situation is he sells his own tefillin, or he sells his own tzitzit, or his own mezuzah, and then he writes them for himself, because then he doesn't have his own. Rabbi Yossi Omer, a person can write them and sell them like normal, in order to make a living. Now Rashi over here says Kedei Panasato means Behar Vacha. He doesn't have to do it even if he doesn't have what to eat. This is even for profits. I mean that it's not a case where this is someone who doesn't have what to eat. If someone doesn't have what to eat, you can do any malacha, not just specifically this malacha. But here it's even Behar Vacha. Tosafot discusses this, whether that's really true, as to whether it applies even to Har Vacha, or possibly it only applies to a case where a person has not what to eat, and therefore he's permitted to do this. He may not be limited to doing exactly what he needs to eat, but he may be able to do it with extra, so therefore he can be mechabei the Yom Tov and have greater simchat Yom Tov, so he doesn't have to do exactly his minimal needs, he can do a little more than that. But Tosafot debates whether this is governed by the rule of Ein Lo Mayochal. He also posits a position that Rabbi Yossi is actually the Chumri here and not the Kula. He reverses what we would have thought, that Rabbi Meir is the most machmir and Rabbi Yossi is the Kula. I say no, Rabbi Meir is the most Megil and Rabbi Yossi is the most Machmir. It's a difficult explanation, but Tosafot does explain the Gemara based on that position. In addition, Tosafot says from here, don't bring proof that you have to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Because it sounds from here that you can write tefillin for yourself on Chol HaMoed. Well, why would you need to write tefillin for yourself on Chol HaMoed? Elim Ken, you're going to wear the tefillin on Chol HaMoed. That implies that people do wear their tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So Tosafot says, don't bring a proof from this Gemara, because this could be according to those opinions who think that tefillin are worn on Shabbat and Yom Tov, and certainly they would be worn on Chol HaMoed. Who says that this Gemara is according to those that say that Chol HaMoed, or Gam, Shabbat, and Yom Tov are Pturim from tefillin, and from there you would have evidence of the fact that Chol HaMoed is different than Shabbat and Yom Tov. The Bahag paskins that you cannot put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, whereas the Balei HaTosafot would entertain an opinion that says that even though you might think that on Shabbat and Yom Tov you can't put on tefillin, nevertheless, on Chol HaMoed you might be able to put on tefillin. And that turns out to be a machloket Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch saying that you don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, as the Ramah says you do put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed with a bracha. And from there developed the different minhagim, some who do not put on tefillin at all, those that are following generally the Shulchan Aruch, the Svaradim, the Chassidim, and those that follow the Gra, who also thinks that the halacha is that there are no tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Those that follow the Ramah, generally in Chutz La'aretz, do put on tefillin, but many of them put on tefillin without a bracha because of the safek, and safek brachot akel, and therefore even though the Ramah says you can make a full-fledged bracha on it, nevertheless, most people put on their tefillin without making a bracha on Chol HaMoed. Or relay Rav, the Rav Chananel. Rav instructed Rav Chananel, Varmila Rabba Barchana, the Rav Chananel, or the Rabba Barchana instructed Rav Chananel, Halacha, the Halacha is Kotev U'Mocher K'dor Togo K'dei Parnasato. That a person can write normally during this period of time and sell them, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Who the author of our Mishnah is, Tosafot discusses whether it's Rabbi Yossi, it's Rabbi Meir, or maybe it's another Tana, and therefore it has nothing to do with our Mishnah, but here the Gemara clearly paskins like Rabbi Yossi that you can write normally. And here the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that's for himself. If he has nothing to eat, and he can write for others. Hagah, the Ramah brings down. So the Ramah adds on the additional factor, just not in a case where he has nothing to eat, but in a case where it'll make it easier for him to enjoy the Simchat Yom Tov and to buy more for Yom Tov, then he also can sell it there. Vim Kadvan. If he wrote them specifically to put them on Chol HaMoed, then it's totally mutar. This is the Ramah Shitato who thinks that you do put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed with a bracha. And then, like the Balei HaTosafot, he says here, the only problem here is writing the tefillin, aval asiyatan shari, but the making of the tefillin is mutar. Tosafot also discuss over here whether a shinoi in the way that you write might change it in the dynamics here. Tosafot says, with regards to places that you're not allowed to write, doing a shinui will have no impact. But he says, even with writing a Sefer Torah or Tefillin Mezuzot, maybe you should do it with a little bit of a shinui in the way that you form the letters. So the halacha, Shulchan Aruch, and Tov Kuf Mem Heis, if Zion says, Kol HaDvarim Shemutar Lichtov, Hafil Lablo Shinui Mutar, if it's Mutar to write it, you don't need a shinui. V'al Shema Asur Lichtov, and whatever is Asur to write, Hafil Lidei Shinui Asur. Then even through a shinui, it's a sur. Shinui makes no difference. Although the Mishnah Berurah writes, that's only when you do a shinui in the way that you're writing. I mean, the way that you're holding the pencil, the way that you work with the pen. On the other hand, if you make a shinui in the letters themselves, then everything is mutar. That's enough of a shinui to say that it's okay. It says it's only true when you're talking about the ktav miruba. You're talking about the squared out type of ktav. So then if you do it in a shinui, it would be permissible. But any other ktav, like our ktav, like he says, the way we write today, then it would not be permissible. Because the ktav requires a specific merubah, if you do a slight shinui with it, and you still create the letters, and it's a ktiva tama, that shinui is enough to degrade it down to the point where it's not a problem of ktiva and chol HaMoed. And then even in a case where it would normally be asur, there we would say it's mutar. Tosafot brings a methodology that his Rebbe used, which was that he used to write the letters, and then leave a break, and then write the second half of the letters. He didn't write them in one shot. He broke the letters in half. As well as, by yud, he used to make a little circle, and then build the yud around it. So he changed the way that he wrote, normally, with regards to this, and that's how he accomplished what he needed. So therefore, in cases where it may not otherwise have been mutar to write the Sefer Torah, Tefillin u'Mezuzot, here, by doing al yedei shinui, the shinui in the ktav itself, which has a requirement of ktav mirubah, that might be enough to allow you to do it on Chol HaMoed without the other heterim like Inlo Mayochal or Kadei Parnasato, because of the shinu, it makes it that it's not really tivan, it's not really a melacha. V'toveh ayirechot techelet, he's allowed to spin techelet on his thigh. Tanu banan, toveh adam ayirechot techelet etzitzito. He can do this on his thigh. Avalo be'evin, he can't use a stone for this. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, you can use a stone to spin the strings or the threads. So you can't do that with a stone, you can only do it on your thigh itself. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Chomim omim, af be'evin, even with a stone, that's unusual. Rabbi Yehuda omer mishmo be'evin, avalo be'pelech. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer that you're allowed to use a stone, but you're not allowed to use a spindle, which is the professional tool for doing this. V'chomim omim, the chomim say, ben be'evin, ben be'pelech. They say it doesn't matter what you use, you're allowed to spin them, because it's a davar mitzvah. Since it's a davar mitzvah, you're allowed to do it. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, v'chein Amar Rabbi Chiya, Baraba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Alocha, Ben Be'evin, Ben Pelach. With regards to spinning the string, that you can be done even with a stone, even with a spindle. Alocha, Gudev, Gedalgo, Mocher, Gedei, Parnasato. A person can write normally with regards to Tfilin and Mizuzot, and he can sell them as long as that's what's needed for his Parnasa. Again, the Alocha, we paskin, that generally means that he doesn't have what to eat, according to the Ramah, it would enhance his Simchat Yom Tov. Not like what Rashi suggests over here, the Harvacha, they can just do it for additional Parnasa. Even though the Ramah leans a little bit in that direction, he doesn't give a full blanket heter to do it and no matter what his Parnasa is. It's just if it enhances Simchat Yom Tov, which is a very subjective matter, and maybe as much as he makes will help to enhance his Simchat Yom Tov because he'll have more and more to spend, that leaves you open with a ability to do it no matter what the circumstances are, because you can always say that it is to enhance the Simchat Yom Tov. Next Mishnah says, a koveret meito shlosha yomim kodem regel, person who buries his mate 3 days before the regel, betela imenu gzirat shiv'a. Then, if the regel comes in, it terminates shiv'a, and shiv'a is over now. Why 3 days? Rashi says, because igur avelut eino ele shlosha yomim. The most prominent part of avelut is the 3 days. The most important part of the avelut is the first 3 days. And we're going to see that over the next couple of dapim, that 3 days is a significant period within the Shiva, and that things change after the 3 days. Certain things are mutar, certain of the dynamics of the velut change, so the major velut, or the primary velut, is for those 3 days. So as long as you've accomplished those 3 days, if the regel comes, it terminates the velut, or the Shiva. Now, if it is not 3 days before the regel, but rather it was shmona, it was 8 days before the regel, but lu amenu gzirat shloshim, then even shloshim gets knocked off, because you completed Shiva. He's now begun Shloshim, and once Shloshim began, the regel terminates Shloshim. Mipnei Shamru, because this is the principle. Shabbat Ola, Ve'enu Mafseket. Shabbat counts towards the 7 days of Shiva, Ve'enu Mafseket, it doesn't terminate, it doesn't stop the Avelut. So when Shabbat comes, you continue to be in Avel, it counts as one of the 7 days of Shiva. Regalim, on the other hand, are Mafsikim. First of all, they stop Avelut, Vein anulim, and they do not count towards it. Now, obviously, if the regalim are mafsik, they terminate it, then what does that mean, vein anulim, they do not count towards it? So there are two explanations that are brought down by Rashi. One explanation is, inulim means that even if the person becomes an avel, the mate is buried on Yom Tov itself, or on Chol HaMoed itself, then he has to wait till after the Yom Tov passes to begin his counting of Shiva. First case is a case where the Shiva started before the regal. The regel is mafsik, it stops it. Then, the second case is enolim, it doesn't, even if it happened during the regel, enolim, then it doesn't count towards the shiva, and you only start the shiva after the regel. On the other hand, there's an additional perush brought down here about what enolim means. That enolim means, if you only know like 2 days before the regel, then you have to continue counting the shiva after the regel, the 5 days that remain. So that's what it means, mafsikin. It stops it when you've already been noeg 3 days of Avelut, but when you've done less than 3 days of Avelut, then it's not Mafsik, but it's also in Ole. It doesn't count towards Avelut, and you have to finish off the 5 days of Avelut after the Regel. And then at the end of the Rashi, there seems to be an insertion that was brought here by a Talmid Toet, that's mentioned by the Kiviger, by the Bach, Mishnah. When it says 3 days, it's Lav Dafka. It doesn't really mean 3 days. It means any amount of days, even a Shachat. Before the regel, that terminates the avilut, that terminates the shiva. And that happens to be the way we paskin. We'll see that in tomorrow's daf. But to read that into the Mishnah is very difficult, because we're going to see on tomorrow's daf that there's actually a braita that says that 3 days is dafko. There's an opinion that says that it really has to be 3 days. So why would you say that it's lav dafko in the Mishnah? That's the criticism of all the mefarshim here of this edition in Rashi. But it might be that the braita that we're going to see in tomorrow's daf is talking about a specific nihug avilut, and our Mishnah is talking more generally, and the two are not necessarily the same. And therefore, maybe this Talmid Tuwet is actually right. We'll discuss that in tomorrow's daf. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mishacharav Beit HaMikdash, from the time that the Churban HaBayit, Atzeret Kishabbat. Atzeret Shavuot is the same din as Shabbat, because now Shavuot is only 1 day. In the time of the Mikdash, it was 1 day, plus you had the additional 6 days to make up the Korbanot that you didn't bring on the first day. So together with the days of Tashlumim, it was like a 7 day holiday. But today, where there is no Beit HaMikdash, no Korbanot, then Atzeret is 1 day, and therefore it's like Shabbat, and it's Oleh, and Einu Mafsik. Rabbi Ben Gamliel Omer, Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim G'Rigalim. Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim have a din like the Rigalim, meaning that they terminate the Avelut, as well as Einu Lim. They don't count towards Avelut. V'Chachamim Omerim, Lok D'Rezeh V'Lok D'Rezeh. They hold like neither of them. Ela, Atzeret G'Rigalim. Atzeret Shavuot is part of the cycle of the Shlosh Rigalim, and therefore it is Mafsik. It terminates, and in Ole, it doesn't count towards it. On the other hand, Rosh Hashanah, V'Yom HaKippurim, have a din like Shabbat. Those are regular holidays. They're not holidays on the level of the Regalim. They don't have the Simcha that is associated with the Regalim. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim are like Shabbat. They do not terminate the Avilut, and Olin, they count towards the Avilut. Now, as far as Shabbat is concerned, the reason that Shabbat will not terminate the Avilut and is Ole the Avilut is partly because there's no way to have Shiva'ah without crossing over Shabbat. By definition, if you have a 7 days of mourning, you're going to hit Shabbat. So if that's the case, it doesn't make sense to say that Shabbat ruins the Avilut if every Shiva'ah is built in to having Avilut. And we'll discuss it in tomorrow's daf as well, the fact that it's a cycle of a week. And the week includes all the days of the week, including Shabbat. Obviously, Shabbat also has the additional aspect, which is that there's a din of Oneg on Shabbat, but there's no din of Simcha on Shabbat, and therefore Shabbat may not be irreconcilable with Avilut as opposed to the Regalim. With regards to Shavuot, we can see why it goes in different directions. We'll discuss this again more in the Gemara, but if it's 1 day, it starts to look like Shabbat. The only time that we have a regal that upends Avilut is when you have a week-long period of Simcha that would counteract or be irreconcilable with a Shiv'ah, that's when it terminates. But here, where it's 1 day, he just let the day pass, like by Shabbat. You can override that day, you can have 1 day and let it pass, because it's not changing the Ofi of the week, just 1 day in the middle. And you can argue the same thing with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, by the fact that they are only 1 day. Since they're only 1 day long, they don't terminate. You have to have a week long in order to terminate it. On the other hand, you could argue that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim are like the Regalim. They're part of the holiday cycles. Since they're part of the holiday cycle, they also have the din like the Regalim. Again, we'll get into more details about all of this in the upcoming Dapim. So Amar Rav, Gezerat Bitlu, Yamim Lo Bitlu. When it comes to the termination of the Shloshim by the Regel, it eliminates the Nihugim, the Gezerot of Shloshim, but does not eliminate the days of the Shloshim. We'll see in 1 second what that means. Chayin Amar Ravuna, Gezerat Batlu, Yamim Lo Batlu. The Nihugim, the Isurim are annulled, but the days themselves, you still remain in Shloshim. Rav Sheshet Amar Afilu Yamim Nami Bitlu. Rav Sheshet says, no, not only is the Isurim removed, but the entire Shloshim disappears. It dissipates completely. My time, O Yamim Lo Bitlu. What does it mean that the Yamim are still in place? If you say the Gzerot are not there, then what's the meaning of the Yamim? Shem Lo Gileach Erev Regel Asur Le Gileach Achar Regel. If he doesn't come and shave before the Regel, then he can't shave after the Regel. Shloshim is terminated for the Kavod HaRegel. Therefore, if you take advantage of that and you shave before the Regel, then you've already upended your Shloshim. Since the Shloshim is now upended, you don't go back afterwards and continue the Shloshim. You've broken the Shloshim. Once the Shloshim is broken, then there's no more Shloshim at all. On the other hand, if you do not shave on Erev Regel, you didn't do it for Kavod HaRegel, then your dispensation has passed by. And then when you come back on the other end of the Regel, when the Regel is finished, you go back to Shloshim because there's no reason for you not to keep Shloshim anymore. You don't have the dispensation anymore. And that's what it means. Yamim are still in place, whereas the Gzerot are gone. The Gzerot are gone. It's suspended now for Kavod HaRegel. You can do something about it. If you don't take advantage of it, then the Shloshim still remains. The days are still there of Shloshim. And since you didn't take advantage of the dispensation, now you're back in Shloshim after the Rego, and you continue on as if nothing ever happened, and the Shloshim continues afterwards. Rav Sheshes, on the other hand, believes that it doesn't matter. Both Gzerot are eliminated, and Shloshim itself is eliminated. It actually has a nafkamina today. We actually say, even when the Rego does terminate Shloshim, that the days of Shloshim continue afterwards, that the counter Shloshim continues for a person's demote for the Amud. That a person in Shloshim has a certain amount of precedence to go daven for the Tzibur, that precedence remains even after the Rego. We count Shloshim as if it wasn't terminated by the Rego, and that person's granted the rights of Shloshim through the days of Shloshim, even though we eliminate the remainder of Shloshim because of the Rego. V'atanya, Atanya here is a brayta menichuta, a brayta that supports what we just said. Hakoveret meito shlosha yamim go to the Rego. Someone who buries is made 3 days before the Rego, but they eliminate gzirat shiva. That eliminates shiva, like our Mishnah. Shmona yamim, called the Meregel, if it was 8 days before the Regel, b'tela yamenu gzirat shloshim, because you already started shloshim, and now the Regel terminates shloshim. Umigaleach erev Regel, when he has to shave right then on erev Regel. Vimlo gileach erev Regel, asur legileach achar Regel. If he didn't do it then, he cannot afterwards go ahead and shave after the Regel, because he lost his chance at that dispensation. Now his shloshim remain. Abashol omer, mutar legileach achar Regel. You can shave after the Regel. Kashem shem mitzvah shloshah mibatela gzirat shiva. Because just like once you've done 3 days of Avelut of Shiva and the Rego comes, it eliminates Shiva completely. Kach mitzvah Shiva mevatelet gzirat shloshim. So too, the mitzvah of Shiva eliminates the gzirat of shloshim. So too, having 7 days before the Rego is enough to eliminate shloshim completely. Shloshim is gone entirely. That means if you shave before, you shave before. That's what you should do for Kvod Rego. But if you don't, you can shave afterwards. Come here, ask the obvious question. What do you mean? In our Mishnah, we talk about 3 days and 8 days. Why are you talking about 3 days and 7 days? Who says that 7 days terminate Shloshim? Come here, says, Shiva, Vahanan, Shmona, Tanan. Our Mishnah says eight. Kasava, Abba Shaul, Mitzvah Dayom, Kikulo. That's according to Abba Shaul. The Shita Toh believes that Mitzvah Dayom, a portion of the day, is considered to be like the entire day. V'yom HaShvi'i Olo Elo Lekan Ulekan. And the seventh day of Avelut counts in both directions, meaning that in the morning it'll be Shiva. And then when you stop the Shiva, you've already entered into the world of Shloshim. Since you've entered into the world of Shloshim, when the Rego comes, it terminates the Shloshim. It's not just that it terminates Shiva, it also terminates Shloshim, because the seventh day has aspects of Shiva in the morning, and then by the afternoon, the other Mikzat Hayom is already Shloshim. So the Rego will eliminate the Shloshim. The Chachamim obviously disagree, and don't hold the Mikzat Hayom Kukulo, and therefore they need the eighth day to be there before they can say that the Rego is terminating Shloshim. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Ravina, Bar Shila, Aloha ki Abba Shaul. The Aloha is like Abba Shaul that we say, Mikzat Hayom Kukulo. Umodim Chachamim Abba Shaul. Chachamim agreed to Abba Shaul. We saw this earlier. Kishachal Shmi Shilo Diot B'Shabbat. If the eighth day of his Avelut falls out on Shabbat, Erev Arego, which is also Erev Arego, Shmuter Legaleach B'Erev Shabbat. He's allowed to shave on Erev Shabbat. So even though they don't generally hold of Mikzat Hayom Kukulo on the seventh day, 7 days is a full day of Avelut Shiva, and the Shloshim only begins after or subsequent to that. Nevertheless, in a case where Erev HaRegel, Erev Yom Tov is Shabbat, and that's the eighth day of his Avelut, he can't do anything about it. Even if you tell him Mikzat Yom Kukulo, even tell him Yom Kukulo, the eighth day doesn't help him at all because it's on Shabbat. Then we grant him permission to move it back onto Friday, Erev Shabbat, even though that's the seventh day of his Avelut. Nevertheless, we allow him to shave and prepare on that day. Now, for Abba Shaul, it makes sense, because Abba Shaul says, Mikzat Hayom Kukulo. So it's a Mikzat Hayom Kukulo, therefore he can take care of whatever his needs are later on the day of the seventh day, Erev Shabbat, and prepare himself for the Shabbat, and prepare himself for Yom Tov. On the other hand, the Chachamim, who don't hold the Mikzat Hayom Kukulo, they shouldn't be allowed to do anything. Yet, there is a special dispensation when the eighth day falls out on Erev Yom Tov, where they would have the ability to normally shave if it wasn't Shabbat and prepare for the Rego. But here, because Shabbat's in the way, we allow you to move it back, and we say Mikzat Hayom Kukulo allow you to take care of the issue. It might have to do with the fact that the Rego has to eliminate something, and the Rego eliminates the thing that you're last left with. So if it's Shiva, the Rego eliminates Shiva. If it's Shloshim, the Rego eliminates Shloshim. In this case, we are going to hit Shloshim on Shabbat, and the Rego will eliminate Shloshim. So for him not to shave and not to get ready, and then his shloshim disappears from the regel, there's no evidence of the fact that the regel affected his shloshim. So that might be why the chachamim allow you on Erev Shabbat to prepare for the regel, because otherwise there's no meaning to the fact that the shloshim was knocked off by the regel. So that's why they might allow you a special dispensation in this case. But in a normal case where Shvi'i, the seventh day, falls out on Erev HaRegel, then the Chachamim would not allow you to shave on Erev Shabbat. Abba Shaul would disagree and say that if the seventh day is Shabbat, then Mitzvotei Yom Kukulo on Shabbat, and Shloshim starts on Shabbat, Shloshim is terminated by the Regel, that means Kvod HaRegel will allow you on Erev Shabbat to shave and take care of whatever you need because of that Mitzvotei Yom Kukulo. Tosafot here discusses whether when Abba Shaul says that the seventh day is Mitzvotei Yom, the start of the day is Shiva, and the remainder of the day is Shloshim, which is Ole Lekan, Ole Lekan, it counts to Shiva, it also counts to Shloshim, does that actually count as 2 days in the Shloshim? Since you're saying the morning is Shiva, the afternoon is Shloshim, they're 2 different days, it's as if the day has a half in the morning and half in the afternoon, does that actually count to towards 2 days towards the Shloshim? And the Shloshim will actually end a day earlier because of that. So Tosafot debates that in the end, the Sofa Tosafot says that we don't count that way. And the Shloshim counts full day, 30 days, and that day where it's half Shiva, half Shloshim counts only as a single day towards the Shloshim, doesn't count as 2 days towards the Shloshim. Now, Kaman Az Lahad Amar of Amar and Amar Rav, how does this member of the Amoraim follow? Avel, Kevin Shamdu Minachamim Etzlo, once the consolers of the mourner leave him, Mutar Bechritzai can wash right away. Kaman, who's that like? Abba Shaul? That's like Abba Shaul says, Mikdud Yom Kukulo, therefore on the morning of the seventh day, once those people that have come to console him leave, then it availeth is over for him, and he can go wash himself. And since the seventh day counts both as Mikdud Yom Kukulo for Shiva and Mikdud Yom Kukulo for Shloshim, then the regel comes and eliminates the remainder of Shloshim, and then the person would be mutar in Tiglachat and in Kibbutz, all the other things that are associated with it. Amar Abaye Alocha Ki Abba Shaul B'Yom Shiva. Abaye says Alocha Ki Abba Shaul on the seventh day. Umodim Chachamim Abba Shaul B'Yom Shloshim. And the Chachamim agreed to Abba Shaul on the 30th day. Tamrino Mikzad Yom Kukulo. That the 30th day we say Mikzad Yom Kukulo. Rav Amar Alocha Ki Abba Shaul B'Yom Shloshim. The Alocha Ki Abba Shaul B'Yom Shloshim that we say Mikzad Yom Kukulo. Vein Alocha Ki Abba Shaul B'Yom Shiva. And the Alocha is not like Abba Shaul when it comes to the seventh day that we say Mikzad Yom Kukulo. Unardai Amre, and the Nardai say Alocha Ki Abba Shaul Bezu Bezu. They say Alocha Ki Abba Shaul in both cases, both on the seventh day of the Shiva, so as the 30th day of the Shloshim. Damar Shmuel, Alocha Divrei Amekil B'Avel. Shmuel says Alocha is always like the lenient opinion in Avel. And the lenient opinion here is Abba Shaul, where we say Mikzad Yom Kikulo. And since we say Mikzad Yom Kikulo, that means that Shiva terminates on the morning of the seventh day. That means Shloshim terminates on the morning of the 30th day. Tosafot does bring down a question here with regards to the Chachamim, who say that the Chachamim agree when the eighth day is Erev HaRegel, that you're allowed to shave before the Regel, and we say Mikzad Yom Kukulo with regards to the eighth day. Yet on the 30th day of Shloshim, we don't say Mikzad Yom Kukulo. Why is there such a differentiation? So Tosafot says it's because it all has to do with Kvod HaRegel. Because Kvod HaRegel has that dispensation, and therefore when the Shemini falls out, that Mikzad Yom Kukulo is all because of Kvod HaRegel. Shloshim, for instance, if it falls out on Shabbat, we're not going to let you shave on Erev Shabbat or take care of an Erev Shabbat, because there is no Kvod HaRegel. Implying that if there was a Shloshim before the Regel, then we would say Mikzad Yom Kukulo and you would be able to shave before. There might be a logic behind why we would differentiate between Shiva and Shloshim with regards to Mikzad Yom Kukulo. Heard this from Rav Meir Lichtenstein. He suggested that there's a difference between Shiva, which is a counting of days. Shiva is constructed of 7 days. And therefore you would say Mikzat Yom Kukulo because you're talking about Yomim. On the other hand, Shloshim is not made up of 30 days. Shloshim is a Chodesh, it's a block of time. So to say Mikzat Yom Kukulo is not relevant when you're talking about Shloshim. Shloshim is a body of time, it's a demarcation of a month, but it has nothing to do with the days that are in between the Shloshim. It's a block, it's a unit. Shiva, on the other hand, which is made up of individual days, you can argue that Mikzat Yom Kukulo. You obviously could say just the opposite. You could argue that Shiva is a block, and therefore Shiva has to be there no matter what, and there's no Mikzad Yom Kukulo, where Shloshim Yom comes from counting the days of the Shloshim. There's evidence on both of these, and therefore there might be the explanation of the different opinions here as to whether we say Mikzad Yom Kukulo only by Shiva, or maybe we only say it by Shloshim. Now the Gemara asks, Shloshim Yom Minolan. From where do we get this idea that there's 30 days of Avilut and one may not cut the hair? Mar says, Yalif para para mi nazir. We learn out para para gzer shavar from nazir. Now, it says by the Bnei Aaron, Ktiv hacha roshechem al tifro. By the Bnei Aaron, you're not allowed to grow your hair out, meaning that normally an avel would grow their hair out and become unkempt. and let their hair go wild. And it says here that you may not do that, B'nai Aaron. Uchtiv Otam, and it says by the Nazir Gadol Pera, their Saro Shang tells you that his hair should be grown out wild. So that's what a Nazir is. Malahalan, so what's the minimum time for a Nazir? Shlashim Yom. So since minimum time for a Nazir to be called a Pera is Shlashim Yom, Afghan, to get that status of a Pera, which you have to be as a mourner, that is Shlashim Yom. Bahotam Minolan, how do you know by Nazir it's 30 days? Amar Matna, Stam Nazirut Shlashim Yom. Because default Nazirut is 30 days. My time, where do you learn that from? Amar Kra, Kadosh Iye. Iye, Begimachio, is Tlatin Avu. The numerical value of Iye is 30. And Kadosh Iye, he will be holy, tells you that he will be for a minimum of 30 days. In that 30-day period, he's called a Pera, that his hair has gone wild. So that teaches you, first of all, if you don't want to be a Pera, and you want to keep your hair in good condition and cut well, a requirement for the Kohanim, that has to be done within 30 days. On the other hand, by an Avel, where you're trying to grow a Pera, that would have to be that you don't get your hair cut for 30 days. And that's how we learn out the 30 days restriction against hair cutting. We learn it out of a Nazir because of the word Pera that's used by the Avelut as well as by the Nazir. I'm Rav Huna, Breda of Yeshua. Hakol Moldim, everybody agrees, Kishal Shlishi Shalodiot Erva Regel. When the third day of his Avelut falls out in Erva Regel, Shasur Rechitzad Erev, you're not allowed to wash until the Erev. Come back and discuss this in 1 second. I'm Rav Nechemia, Breda the Rav Yeshua. Ashkechintu, I found the Rav Papi or the Rav Papa, Tiyatve, Vikamre, and they said, Aloka, Rav Huna, Breda the Rav Yeshua. The Aloka is like Rav Huna, Breda Yeshua, just now. Igdamre, some say, I'm Rav Nechemia, Breda the Rav Yosef. Ashkechintu, the Rav Papi, or the Rav Papa, or the Rav Huna, Breda the Rav Yeshua, Tiyatve, Vikamre. They all said together, Ako Modim. Shimchal Shlishi Shelo, Diod, Erev Aregel. The third day falls down in Erev Aregel, Shasur Bechitzad Erev. You have to wait until the Erev to do this. Now, what exactly is going on here is interesting. Machloket Rashi and Tosafot, Machloket in the Rishonim. We have here the third day of Avelut. As we saw in our Mishnah, according to the Mishnah, if you have a full 3 days of Avelut prior to the regular terminates it. That's what's going to happen here. He has 3 days before the regular terminates it. But the Avelut is only terminated once he hits the regular. And what they're saying here is that we don't say Mitzvot Yom Kukulo. I say he has to keep the full third day. As Rashi suggests over here, meaning keeping the full third day means that he can only wash himself at night. On Yom Tov, he can wash himself in cold water, or he can do in Chamei Tveria, or other dispensations that we have for using hot water or hot springs, but he may not wash himself prior to that point, because his Avelut does not terminate until the onset of the Rego. And since it doesn't terminate until the onset of the Rego, he may not wash until that point in time. Plus, it's not a problem of Kavod Rego, because he can actually wash himself on the regel itself. So therefore, the Erev Ruchetz Mitzonein, he can either bathe in cold water that night on Yom Tov, or wait until Cholom Moed, and then he can wash himself in hot water. But that is what Rashi says here, that means that the termination of the Avelut doesn't have a benefit on Erev Yom Tov, only has a benefit on Yom Tov itself. Part of the reason it might be is because you can wash yourself in cold water, and you can wash yourself in hot water on Cholom Moed, and so because of that, maybe you don't need to wash yourself before the regel. Tosafot, on the other hand, brings an alternative shot, but Erev doesn't mean nightfall. Erev means late in the day. That even though you might say Mitzvot Yom Kukulo, generally when we say Mitzvot Yom Kukulo, means that the beginning of the day, that terminates everything, and then the remainder of the day is free. Over here, because it's the first 3 days of Eilut, yes, we say Mitzvot Yom Kukulo, and there's a dispensation for Kavod Rego, that's only proximate to the Rego. It has to be in a time period where it's obvious that what you're doing is not just the termination of Eilut, but it's a part of Kavod HaRego, Kavod HaYom Tov. When's that? That's only when you get closer, meaning into the afternoon or before nightfall on the day of Yom Tov. That's when it would be obvious that you're doing it for the regel itself. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch brings down the halacha. If except for the seventh day where we say Mitzvot Yom Kukulo and it's over in the morning, if any of the other days of Eilut fall on Erev HaRegel, mutar lechabes, you're allowed to launder on that day. V'lo yibishen ar halayla, but you can't wear that clothing until nightfall. It's also better not to launder until afternoon time. Kadeshia nikar. So it'll be obvious Shibnei Regal Humichabes. He's laundering for the regal itself. Avalir Holtz to wash oneself Asur Adalailo. It's Asur until nightfall. Vyesh Matirim Nirchot Sakhar Tfilata Mincha. And there's some that allow you to wash yourself after Mincha. This is exactly Rashi and Tosafot. Rashi says you gotta wait until nightfall. V'yesh matirim, and there's some he brings down. That's the Tosafot. There are matir, there are chol tzachar tzvilat mincha, samoch hashecha. And the Rama says, v'chein oagim. That is our minog, that we allow you to launder and to bathe late on the day of Erev HaRegel, when it's terminating the remainder of Eilut. We only say Mikzar HaYom Kukulo by the seventh day, and there we terminate in the morning, and therefore you can wash, launder, do whatever you need to do on the Erev HaRegel after we say Mikzar HaYom Kukulo through that entire day. On the other hand, when it comes to any of the other days of Eilut, it's not really Mikzar HaYom Kukulo. We're not saying that you've reached the end of the Eilut, and therefore it's Mikzar HaYom Kukulo. We're here in the middle of the Eilut. It just happens to be that you're bumping into the Regel. So the Regel is eliminating. It's not Mikzar HaYom Kukulo. It's eliminating. It's the Regel itself. So it's only where those two come into a clash do you have the elimination. That's either on the Regel itself, like Rashi says. You have to wait till that night to wash yourself and clean yourself up. Or the other possibility is right before the Regel, where they're coming into clash and Kavod HaRegel is coming to override Eilut. That's where we allow it. But we're not going to allow it from the morning. We're not going to say Mikzar HaYom Kukulo in an instance where it's terminating Avelut in the middle of the Avelut. And the Shach brings down from the Trumat HaDeshen that even if a person has a mate, Shemait lo be'erev Shabbat, that dies in Erev Shabbat, ba'oto Shabbat u'erev HaRegel, and that Shabbat is Erev HaRegel, mutar lechotz be'erev Shabbat, lefi minhagenu. Then you can wash on Erev Shabbat, lefi our minhag, which is that we wash coming into Shabbat even during the Shiv'ah. So over here, he'll be allowed to wash himself and take care of himself Erev Shabbat going into the Regel. And that will go straight to that. That will carry him through to the Regel because he can't do it on Shabbat itself. But Erev Shabbat, he's allowed to do it like we would do in any other instance of Erev Shabbat close to the Shabbat. That's even when that was the first day of Avelut that the mate died on that Shabbat. Because he started the Avelut, that's enough to allow him then to wash himself and get ready for Shabbat and get ready for the Regel. So even though here the Regel is only going to eliminate Gezeret Shiva, and you haven't started Gezeret Shloshim, nevertheless, we still say, according to our minog, that we allow you to be rochets, and therefore you are allowed to be rochets Erev Shabbat during Shiva, and for the Regel, even though Shloshim hasn't started. That's despite the fact that the Ramah in other places says that the rochets last for all 30 days as a restriction. The Shach over here says that the Ramah says that it's only a minog, it's not the Isur of the Gamre, and says it's only a minog, in the case where it comes into clash with Kavod HaRegel, we allow you to wash yourself and launder going into the Regel. And obviously the Nafkamina will be here post the Regel. Post the Regel, your Shloshim will still be in effect, and therefore you will not be able to wash yourself, you will not be able to launder after the Regel, because Shloshim is still in effect. The Regel did not eliminate it. Because there was a clash between Kavod HaRegel and our minog, the Heb, Rechitza, and Kviso, that's why we allowed you before the Regel to prepare yourself for the Regel because of Kavod HaRegel. But post the Regel, where there is no Kavod HaRegel, then we go back to the default of the regular minhag. And then Minhag tells us that there is Isser Rechitza, Isser Kvisa afterwards because the Regel did not eliminate Shloshim. It only eliminated Shiva. Since it only eliminated Shiva, Shloshim is still in effect. And even though our minog allows us to wash and launder going into the Regel, nevertheless, the Shloshim is still in effect afterwards, and therefore you will not be able to wash or launder after the Regel. Okay, we'll stop over here.